You're listening to the Ascension Roundtable Podcast, Episode 35, How to Engage Parents During Sacramental Prep. You know that parents are the primary educators of their children, and that's why it can be so hard when it's completely left to you, the catechist, to introduce them to the faith. How can we as parish communities evangelize parents during those key moments of sacramental prep, so that we can help them encounter Christ, understand their calling as parents, and embrace their role to bring their children with them to heaven?
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Glad you guys are back joining with us today, because we have Colin McIver is back on the line with us. He has been absent, traveling and teaching and studying and working on his marvelous beard. So welcome back, Colin. It's glad to have you back and hear your soothing voice.
Well, thank you. Yeah, actually, most of my absence can be attributed to beard growth. I sit in silence for a good 8 hours a day, just trying to get it to really mature. And our listeners out there have been at those trainings. So if we were in your neck of the woods recently, hello and welcome to the roundtable.
Oh, I'm sure they're listening. If they saw you, they are tuned in, Jack.
Just kidding. I don't know. We'll see.
So our topic today is one that we're all familiar with. We're all parents, at least both of us are, and Marisa is too. She's on the mic, even though she's not talking to us right now. And we're all parents, and if we work in ministry, we're either probably talking to parents, and we just want to talk about our role as educators, their role as parents, and how we can support them in what they do. Sound good?
Sounds like a great topic.
I thought so. I think I'm going to learn a lot today.
I think very important. I just cut you off. Sorry, man.
That's all right. That's good. So what should we start with? Do you have any keys or points you want to make this afternoon or this morning?
I'll say this, that after a pretty busy kind of prime season of events out there talking to youth ministers and talking to DREs and catechists, many of whom are also parents, I would say this is probably the hottest topic of the last 3 months, having been to different regions and different sizes of parish and different demographics of dioceses. This is what people are talking about everywhere. And I think what we're talking about today is really the frontier, and I think the shift in focus that needs to happen in terms of evangelizing and catechizing our young people. I almost turned it to catechizing.
Catechizing?
Which is a whole different thing. Catechizing.
It's yeah. And then Thursday night for catechizing. I don't know what that means. No, I would agree. I don't do nearly as, and not even come close to as many trainings as you do. But I hear the same thing. Parents when I ask catechists and DREs and youth ministers, what is a struggle they have in bringing teens to the faith? A lot of them say parents. Are obstacles, and that's unfortunate. And I understand where they're coming from totally, but I think we need to change our mindset as to stop looking at them as an obstacle and start looking at them as someone we can evangelize, as well as the youth or the whomever else we're working with.
Yeah, I know that this is an area I've been maybe for the last decade just hearing more and more and being convicted more and more. Whether it's what we're doing in the parish, how we're engaging parents in a Catholic school setting, and then of course in my own role as a parent, just understanding a little bit more and more about how all this works. So I guess we can make three key points today. One is that parents are irreplaceable, and in no way, shape, or form in the parish or in the school or on the diocesan level are we trying to replace parents. As a matter of fact, if we root ourselves in the teaching of the church, we hear very clearly in a document such as Familiaris Consortio that parents must be acknowledged as the first and foremost educators of their children. The role of parents, their role as educators, is so decisive that scarcely anything can compensate for their failure in it. The right and duty of parents is to give education is essential. And if those sound like very wise words, they're because they come from St. John Paul II and Familiaris Consortio. So we are not trying to take their place. So that's number one. Parents are irreplaceable. And then number two, Alan, you want to give us number two?
Sure. I think we need to recognize our place and our role. If parents are the primary educator, where do we come in? And thank goodness for the church and for her general directory for catechesis, because she tells us, she teaches us, even the teachers, she teaches the teachers. But she says that the Christian community must give very special attention to parents by means of personal contact, meetings, courses, and also adult catechesis directed towards parents. The Christian community must help them assume their responsibility, which is particularly delicate today, of educating their children in the faith. And this can be tough to swallow, but important. The domestic church, quote unquote, is virtually the only environment in which children and young people can receive authentic catechesis. That challenges me like big time to think that's where my kids are going to get authentic catechesis. So what am I doing at home? What am I modeling at home? Like, ouch.
Yeah. But that's exactly it. And we'll flesh these out, but that raises all kinds of eyebrows and thoughts, maybe among listeners who are working in a parish, but also our parents. And we know this is the place where it has to happen. It's in the domestic church, in the home. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Number three is a kind of a hopeful one, and a little child shall lead them, because parents can be evangelized by their children. So oftentimes the children are ones evangelizing their parents. And so we can equip and empower young people to be a light of hope for their parents, and therefore bring parents sort of back into involvement in the church through what they're witnessing with their own children. So there's a light of hope there, I would say. As a matter of fact, when Blessed Paul VI wrote Evangelii Nuntiandi, Evangelization in the Modern World, I just have this off the top of my head. Just for listeners, there's no show notes here at all. We have just encyclicals and totally the general directory totally memorized. And with our astute scholarship. I think it's paragraph 71.
I think you're right.
It is. In a family which is conscious of its mission, all the members evangelize and are evangelized. The parents not only communicate the gospel to their children, but from their children, they can themselves receive the same gospel as deeply lived by them, by their children. And that's beautiful. And I can attest, maybe we'll talk about this more. I can attest that is so often the case in my own life, how often I have been evangelized by my children. I bet a lot of parent listeners out there would say the same.
I know I have, for sure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How do we get to the parents? How do we reach them? I think, you know, in the Chosen Training, we talk about how the teen culture, that they are bored, busy, distracted, and disconnected. And we both agree that that's just not the teen culture. That is the culture. And so our parents are bored, busy, distracted, and disconnected as well. So how do we, is there a spot that we have a touch point with them, if you will, that we can, where we wouldn't normally engage them, that we can kind of touch base with them, have a touch point, engage them? Is there a spot where that happens naturally in the church?
Yes, absolutely. I think sacramental preparation is, at least at this juncture in the life of the church, a place where we have a very large, for lack of a better term, we have a captive audience. There are a lot of parents who are still bringing their young people to us for, certainly for baptism, and that's a great place for evangelization, for First Communion preparation, and then again for confirmation. And in some cases, the parents that we see there, that may be the only time that we're seeing them, some other than maybe Christmas and Easter. So we want to make sure that we're not wasting those golden opportunities, where we do have parents who still care enough that they want the faith for their young people, but they themselves may be hurting and disconnected from church life. And what they're expecting to get from us is perhaps, a lecture. Maybe they're expecting just for us to be a little bit of a sacrament factory and to get their kids their sacraments. And the golden opportunity there is to wow them with the beauty of the gospel. For that's the point where we evangelize. I probably talked about it on another podcast, but I'll quickly tell my sort of life-changing story when it comes to parents. After a training back in maybe 2008, 2009, I sat down on a plane ready to put my headphones in and crack open the Sky Mall and maybe take a nap on a plane. And if anyone has ever sat down next to somebody on a plane who you can tell wanted to talk, like this guy was just like oozing like, hey, how's it going, guys? I want to talk. So as soon as he sat down between me and the guy on the other side, he asked my name and asked where I was headed. And I was like, well, the plane's going to New Orleans, so that's where I'm headed, right? And I didn't want to volunteer any other information, but he just started asking me questions, and he asked what I was doing in, I think it was maybe Baltimore. And I said, well, I was given a workshop and didn't want to volunteer any other information. He said, well, what was it all about? What were you talking about? And I said, well, It was a workshop, and this was a Theology of the Body day, and I figured I would end the conversation. I put it this way, which was true, but I said, well, it was a workshop. How do I put it? It was about sex, love, Jesus, and teenagers. And I thought, like, clearly this guy will not want to talk to me ever again in my whole life. Instead, he said, was it a workshop on the Theology of the Body? I was like a little bit like, wow, like, what are the odds of,
how do you know that?
It's like there's some sort of like whole section on the plane, like, you know, they set aside for Theology of the Body people. And he asked me if, he said, well, can I tell you my story? And I thought, well, I don't really have a choice, do I? here we are on a plane and it's about to take off and our tray tables are up and I'm seated in a locked and upright position. So go ahead, man. But this is his story, and this is why I often tell this, and our listeners who've been to trainings have probably heard me tell this story because I tell it everywhere. He said his whole family life was changed because he went to a First Communion parent meeting, and along with the expected things at the meeting where they got their order form to get a First Communion veil and like a Jesus tie tack for their kids and those sorts of things, along with getting information about no flash photography in the midst of the ceremony and how many classes you can miss before you're like kicked out of the program and excommunicated, that sort of thing. He said that the DRE got up and instead of just giving logistics, actually gave a beautiful teaching on the Eucharist. And it was put in such a way that he and his wife had never heard it. And after that, it was followed by a testimony that there were some parents who came up and talked about the Eucharist as the center of their family life. I don't think they called it domestic church because they were talking to people who maybe wouldn't quite know that language yet. Mm-hmm. But they said the Eucharist was the center of their family. And they talked about going to adoration together sometimes, and the way the Eucharist and Christ present in that way was just central. And it was beautiful. And he and his wife afterwards found themselves maybe holding hands a little in the pew and just really wanting to dive deeper into their faith. And it was followed by an actual experience of Eucharistic adoration, not wow. terribly long, because it's a parent meeting. And whoever was running this meeting was a genius and kind of understood, well, this can't be too long, but let's actually provide people face time with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. And they did. And he said that after this particular meeting, he and his wife and their whole family life was never the same. They went from being sort of involved Catholics who went to Mass 3 out of 4 Sundays, unless there was a soccer tournament, to being disciples of Jesus Christ. They started to seek out adult education in their parish. It started to connect for them. They eventually did some like great Bible studies together. They learned about the Theology of the Body. And that had been, I don't know, I guess for maybe 3 to 5 years. I don't remember exactly how long he said. But having that conversation was very transformative for me because I was often the one who would stand out in the parking lot and widen my phylacteries as parents drop their kids off and think like, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the rest of these sinner parents. You know, we pray grace before meals and review the Sunday gospel, and they scarcely ever come to church. And that attitude, that it's easy to get frustrated. I hear this a lot from other DREs and youth ministers and such. It's easy to get frustrated to think like, man, the parents are not following up at home. And one response to that is for us to just get upset about it and just complain and just sort of like be like, well, parents aren't doing what they're supposed to do. The other response is to open our eyes to the fact that many of the parents that are in our parish are hurting. They feel disconnected from the church. They feel disconnected from God. They're still hanging like barely by a thread. And in a generation, who knows if they'll even hang by a thread unless we do something differently. Can we reach out and give them good news and equip them and empower them? And I think the answer to that question is yes. And the first thing to do is just shift the way that we think about it. If we care about the young people that we're working with, whether it's our first communion kids or our confirmation kids or whoever we're working with in between, we need to reach out to their parents, because the biggest indicator of whether or not our young people will receive the faith and continue to practice it is whether or not it's happening in their homes. So if we want to be effective with our young people, we have to be effective with our old people, not our old people, our parents.
No, yeah, good stuff, man. Totally true. We got to stop pointing the finger and begin inviting them into a relationship with Christ as well, and recognize that, like you said, they're hurting, and start trying to meet them where they are and talk to them as well, which can be tough sometimes, especially if when parents come, like say a confirmation meeting, and they're looking for the nuts and bolts of the class, and you're thinking, this is my chance to evangelize them. But as soon as you start to talk about anything other than what they are expecting, they kind of shut down sometimes. And so, you know, but there's ways around that. I used to have a parent meeting for confirmation, and I would tell them up front that what the date was, you know, like a year in advance, when the date was, keep reminding them so they wouldn't schedule anything on it. And then tell them in advance it's going to be an hour and a half. Like, just come expecting it to be an hour and a half, so they don't come and get surprised. And so they know, and they come, and they go, okay, I'm just going to have to deal with this 90 minutes of listening to this guy with the bad hairdo, like, talk to me, and then I get to go home and get people working and leave. And I would have parents, and I would have teens kind of, you know, planted in the audience that were either helping out with confirmation, or teens that have been through confirmation before. And because the meeting would have parents and teens both. And so I would sprinkle them strategically amongst the audience. And so as we start talking again, I would share something about my life, make myself vulnerable, kind of share a personal story, a testimony a little bit, and then ask them about their confirmation and how was it with them. Most parents say they don't remember, or they don't remember, or they didn't like it, or it was just kind of one of those things they had to do. And so I would ask them to kind of talk about it with the people around them, and knowing very well that the people around them were there to help facilitate conversation. And so they knew exactly where they wanted to kind of take that conversation and help facilitate it, instead of saying, we're going to move to small group now and talk about this. It was just kind of, it looked like it happened a little more organically than it actually did. It was kind of planned and prepared for. But my point being that I gave them a chance to talk about their experience and how it wasn't what they would have liked it to be, and that we can make a difference kind of going forward. And kind of, you have to kind of soften, I think, the soil a little bit before you begin to evangelize them. And that takes a little prep and a little making yourself vulnerable and then going into it. So there's ways to do it.
The softening the soil, I think there's some real simple practical ways to soften the soil. One is just the attitude of the team toward the parents. I think being just effusively friendly is just a really simple thing we can do. And that doesn't always happen. That's not automatic. It's going into that mode of like just welcoming in. Another thing I think that softens the soil, and this is going to sound like really simple, but not that long ago we were podcasting about hospitality. Yeah. And I think just being hospitable to parents, having a parent meeting and showing up with like chicken biscuits or something like that can go a long way. And a real life experience, we tried something a little different with Chosen this year. We had for a long time had a session with sponsors where we provided sponsors the opportunity to start the conversation. And we really walked them through it and mentored them through that so that sponsors didn't just get a guide in their hands. They got some real experience in addressing fundamental questions of faith. So for a particular lesson, we'd subbed out small groups for mentored conversation between the sponsor and the candidate. And this year, very simple idea, what if we did that with parents? We always had, I think, a pretty good parent meeting, and it had, you know, softened the soil, so to speak. But we followed up this year with a whole session where we just mentored the conversation between the parent and the candidate. And the team's job was just to be a friendly face and to help the conversation to start. Because oftentimes parents, especially in the bored, busy, distracted, disconnected culture, are not sitting down at the dinner table and asking little Johnny, like, how's your relationship with Jesus today? Like, they may be figuring out, like, do you have a test tomorrow? Wait, what happened here? What happened here? Oh, shoot, we're supposed to be at this meeting. Like, there's all that happening. And so the space for faith formation may not be automatically provided for in the home, but we can mentor that in the parish. We can start a discussion, show them how it works, show them that, hey, this isn't awkward, this is great, and then continue to encourage that to happen in the home. And I think sometimes it's as simple as just kind of holding parents' hands a little bit through that conversation. I'm talking here about teen life. If we start that earlier, even better. If that's mm-hmm. happening with our second graders and third graders, and we're showing parents how to have these discussions about God and faith and catechesis and all of that. But actually at that meeting we provided chicken biscuits, and I think that's really what made the difference. So. I don't know if there's no chicken on the biscuits, I'm not sure that it would have happened. and another thing too, if I could, in terms of, like, you know, understanding our role, right there in what you read from the General Directory for Catechesis, it points out how should we do this? By means of personal contact. So that's that face-to-face, you know, smile, welcome, greeting, by meetings, and courses of adult catechesis directed toward parents. So what can that look like in the bored, busy, distracted, disconnected culture? I'll give a shout out to one of my colleagues, Rafael Flores, who teaches here at St. Scholastica in Covington, where I often sit, where the fire alarm, podcast listeners probably don't know, but we were delayed by a fire alarm today. So just real life stuff, right? Anyway, one of his ideas was to take the next step in parent catechesis by doing something like a theology on tap with parents. And so he's working on his master's degree, and his practicum was to start something. And we call it Uncorked. Very simple, to similar to a theology on tap, except we serve wine and cheese. I didn't know much about it at first. I had, like, box wine and cheese whiz, and that wasn't what exactly he had in mind. So we just provided an opportunity for parents to come together as a community of faith. We picked different topics, much like you would on, you know, a theology on tap directed more toward young adults. And we found that lots of parents love to come to this. They have questions. We can direct it specifically toward their role as parents, but also have some general faith formation in there. They're networking together, and it's also a break from their busy week and a chance to connect with peers. So it's just creating the space. It was, you know, in some ways it's just such a simple idea, but I don't think it's been tried and found wanting. I think, like many things, it's been found difficult and left untried. You know, so if you haven't tried something like that, you know, in your parish or your school or on a diocesan level, why not just kind of create the space mm-hmm. for parents and network and connect? And it may be as simple as, you know, a short speaker or a testimony, and then for the parents to have a chance to network. What are the challenges they're facing in mentoring their young people in the faith? And the biggest challenge may be, well, that they themselves are struggling in their faith, and we can help with that too.
Yeah, it's great. And like you said, point number two being intentional about our role to reach the parents as well. And you can work that stuff in if there's a CCD class or youth ministry going on, and when the parents come to drop off their kids, they can go somewhere else where they're going to be there anyway. Instead of going to a coffee shop down the street, invite them somewhere where they can meet each other and begin to build community with themselves and, like you said, and network and all those things you just mentioned.
So, yeah, I mean, I've heard so many cool little success stories about that in my travels. Everything from like taking a big step. Let's say that you're doing confirmation prep, and there are some programs that have gone so far as to offer a small group for parents concurrent with the other regularly scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. And so in a parish like that, sometimes they're bringing parents in to work directly with their with the candidates. And sometimes they're networking parents in their own small group. And oftentimes people will report, well, you don't get all the parents there, but that's okay if you get,
right. Yeah.
Get a bunch. And if they mm-hmm. like it, then they're going to talk to their friends, and that magic is going to happen, and they're going to more of them want to come. I've also heard that, especially, of course, we do a lot of theology of the body formation. That's a topic in an area where a lot of parents don't have a whole lot of experience, and they're very hesitant. And it's an area where parents really need some good news. So people will often have this concern and ask at trainings, well, you know, aren't parents going to feel like we're pointing a finger at them? And especially if they're not already living out the church's teaching with regard to, say, contraception, or if you have divorced parents out there. And that could be the case unless we start in a very proactive way by reaching out to the parents to say, we take the whole teaching and we start with, we have good news. And we have good news not only for teens, not only for like middle schoolers, not only for whoever. We have good news for parents who are hurting. Parents who are out there just kind of questioning their own experience with relationship and marriage. So what if we provide a spot for them to meet about that? I had one youth minister kind of give me some feedback maybe 3 or 4 months after we had our U day. And she said that she had great success getting parents to, after a first meeting, which was engaging, and they really were taken with the idea of what their young people were going to be learning about. She said something like, in this large parish, 40 or 50 parents came back the next time at an elective session where they were just invited. And they were coming back week by week, and they were discussing. And her biggest complaint was that the parents were more ready to talk about what was happening with their teens than they were with what was going on with themselves, which is understandable. Mm-hmm. But I thought, wow, what a great starting point. And if you keep that going long enough, maybe they do open up about their own hurts, and we can minister to them as well.
I did end up jumping on the mic.
I was hoping you would. No. You always have good stuff to say. Marisa, I have to tell you, like on the road, people will so often tell me.
Is to put her on the mic more?
Huh?
Yeah.
People will often tell me that you sound like you belong on NPR.
Oh my gosh. That's true. That is so funny. So I just had a couple thoughts. And one thought that I had is just, I think it's so important to remember that you might have parents in a room because their oldest child is becoming, is going to be, I don't know, confirmed or receive the sacrament of the Eucharist. You might have their third child. You might have an adopted child. You might have their seventh child. I mean, that these parents are all in very different places, just in their parenting journey, and that's valuable to the other parents in the room. And so I think that's one point, is that giving them the opportunity to share their wisdom, and just kind of not vent to one another, but just support one another in that messiness that can be parenting, just from a really practical standpoint. And then the other thing is that those parents, they might have other kids at home or in the car. We need to be smart about helping them relax, because they can't, I mean, they're not going to sit there and have a come to Jesus moment if their kid has a project due, like their other kid has a project due the next day, and they're, you know, pulling their hair out and they can't figure out what to do about dinner because they've got another kid who's coming back from band practice. I mean, people have busy lives, and that's not, that's just a reality of being a parent of multiple kids. And so, I'm not saying I know answers. I have a 16-month-old who likes to play in boxes right now. So
But, so do I.
But I'm just remembering back to my high school, and we had five kids and four mm-hmm. teens and an elementary schooler. And yeah, it's just crazy. So talk about that. Talk about that with your team think about that. My other thought was, and this is maybe just, this is kind of more random, but I'm thinking of confession and how confession is such a transformational opportunity, and it puts parents, first of all, obviously you can't force parents to go to confession, but at every point along the sacramental journey, the teens or the seven-year-olds are getting the opportunity to go to confession. And I think that parents, again, like Colin, you were saying, parents are more likely to talk about what's happening with their teens or with their child, but inviting them to confession gives them the opportunity to really examine themselves. And so I don't know what it would look like, but is there a way to really encourage and invite the parents to go to confession right after their child goes to confession, somewhere along that journey or before?
That's an awesome idea. Is it so true? I think just in the flow of a lot of parishes' life that your confession time is in a spot before your vigil mass where you're really reaching a particular segment of your parish population, but it's highly inconvenient for most other people who presumably also have sins and need healing. And so, yeah, in the flow of sacramental prep, what a great way if you can have, I often say this just with teens, like if you can have a priest like on standby with a purple stole whenever there are teenagers around, that's awesome. Whenever it comes up, whenever it's available. But I hadn't really thought about that for parents. That's certainly like what a great golden opportunity we should be providing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially for like first reconciliation where you can sell it, if you will, as you're encouraging the parents to model it for their kids so that the kids will feel comfortable going, all the while then maybe the first of the parents have been in a long time as well. So, mm-hmm. but it kind of puts them in a situation where they almost feel obligated to go and have to do that examination and then go get graced.
and you may have to, provide a little bit of childcare in the midst of that, but
right.
that works too. And I know that, that all of a sudden now we've got like, all right, well, we need a lot of safe environment, certified people around it. If some of this sounds like it's all hands on deck, difficult, it is going to take a whole parish effort to start doing these things and doing them well, but, they can work and they should work. And I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit's on board with this stuff, you know, just starting to think in a broader way. I, with the childcare thing, I'll say that's one of the first things that we talked about, even uncorked, like our parental audience. This is high school parents. But we had a discussion last month about, well, how many of our parents, even though they have high school kids, still do have some who are, you know, in the birth order, still in, you know, fifth grade, fourth grade, and they would need childcare to do something like that. So we thought, well, let's try to provide that and see if that doesn't help. And in the parish, that's especially true if we're talking about reaching out to parents of, you know, first reconciliation. But yeah, go ahead, Marisa. Yeah,
I have one more practical thing, and this is actually from an interview that we did with the guys at Project YM, Michael Marchand mm-hmm. and Tony Vicinda. And Tony Vicinda works with kind of the holistic, one of the things he emphasizes is that youth ministry, we can't silo ministry, is kind of what you're saying. It's all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. It's got to be, again, the whole family. We're reaching the whole family. We're catechizing the family, not just, you know, one piece of the family. And this is a very practical thing, but Tony said he sits down at the beginning of the year, he gets parents from each of the area schools, and mm-hmm. he looks at the calendar of the whole year and really tries to determine like what works, what's going to work best for families. You're not going to find the perfect time. You're not going to find one day of the calendar year where nothing's happening, mm-hmm. but you can make some better guesses. There can be some informed decision making about scheduling. I thought that was a really good practical insight from him.
Yeah, definitely so. And one that comes up, I'm sure, and anyone who's listening who is doing sacramental prep knows, like, oh man, that's so hard. And I'll admit, I've walked into that a few times where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize was like too. Homecoming, whatever, something like that, for that one school, especially if you have a parish where there are many schools represented. Yeah. And a little bit of planning, you put something like that on the calendar once, and then the next year you just make that the way that you put together your calendar, mm-hmm. and it becomes more of a community-wise effort. So
one more quick point, just to kind of wrap this up, and I think it hits our third point of the children can evangelize the parents. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about evangelizing or catechizing and evangelizing the whole family. And I just had a thought that if you are going to do something like Uncorked for parents of teens while you're hosting a teen event, or for kids and their parents at the same time, what a great opportunity to, be super hospitable, like you said, be uber hospitable, instead of just worrying about, let's go teach them some doctrine, or let's go tell them what they're doing wrong as parents. Let's just be super hospitable, and then maybe ask them a question like, where have you seen God in your children recently? And get them just thinking in terms like that. So when they go back and they're spending time with their kids, they start to recognize and look for those moments where they can see God working through their kids and begin to evangelize themselves. So just a thought. Yeah. I don't know
about y'all, but when we start talking about this, there's just a lot of energy and idea behind this. So I hope our listeners are thinking about, ooh, I could try this. And because this is kind of a new frontier, maybe for some of us, I think just try stuff, you know, put something on your calendar, and don't be afraid to break out of the mold and do something bold and new. And it may require some tweaking after the first time that you try. It may be more of a long-term effort, but this is so this is just so vital. Mm-hmm. And right. I know I've got a long way to go.
Write to us about it.
Yeah. Yes. Write to us. Sure.
Please share with us.
If you have
us.
Something that's worked.
Yeah. Share with the audience. I mean, cause again, you know, we sit here and we talk and we brainstorm and we've got experience, but really I would say a lot of the insights are coming from outside of this office, mm-hmm. outside of, our day to day. So write to us, ascensionroundtable@ascensionpress.com. And we'll share that. Or, you know what, you can even record a little, like a voice recorder, and just email that right to me at ascensionroundtable@ascensionpress.com, and we'll even put your voice on the podcast.
Oh, so cool.
I was just going to say that too. That is a cool idea. Yeah.
All right. Well, good. We know you got to go wax your beard. So
it's a 3-hour process, so I better, yeah.
Got to shut off the lights and soundproof the room, get some growth happening. But guys, we love you. We're praying for you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing good work. And thanks for joining mm-hmm. us today. Join us next week, same time, same place ish. And we'll see you next time, Colin. See you, Marisa.
All right.
Peace.
Bye, y'all.